Welcome to The Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, the issue is immigration with two very different perspectives. With us, the Border Patrol chief for this region of California. His name is Gregory Bovino. And with us, from the LA Times, columnist Gustavo Arellano. We start, though, with Bovino, who has been leading these raids that have been highly publicized around California, just one in Sacramento this past week, the raid in MacArthur Park, the raid in Camarillo, and others. We talked to him about each of those. The behind-the-scenes story, he has not done hardly any local news interviews, so it's interesting to hear his perspective, and then later perspective from Gustavo Arellano. But let's start with Bovino, and let's start with a video that he put out on social media.
There is no such thing as a sanctuary city. There's no such thing as a sanctuary state. Whether it's here in Sacramento or nationwide, we're here and we're not going anywhere.
These are images from the latest Border Patrol raid from Sacramento this week. The man overseeing that raid and starring in that video is Gregory Bovino, U.S. Border Patrol Chief Patrol Border Agent, overseeing the El Centro section. He is in our studio for the first time for a rare local interview. Welcome. Thanks so much for
Alex,
being here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
We appreciate it. So what was the idea behind that raid?
Sure. Alex, Title 8 Immigration Enforcement. That's the name of the game, whether it's Customs and Border Protection, ICE, HSI, or our allied law enforcement partners. As you know, we're here in California to effect that Title 8 mission. That's our immigration statutes. We were in Sacramento to do just that. Whether it's Los Angeles, Sacramento, or anywhere else, we're going to affect that Title 8 mission.
So what is Title 8 for people that don't know what that is?
Sure. Title 8, again, are our immigration statutes, whether that's being in the country illegally or perhaps an illegal alien aggravated felon. We saw two of those yesterday in Sacramento. Anything immigration related, that's under our purview.
So was there a specific reason that you targeted that Home Depot parking lot, or was it sort of a random place to go?
Sure, Alex. Everything we do is targeted. Again, we're after anything immigration related. We did have prior intelligence that there were targets that we were interested in and around that Home Depot, as well as other targeted enforcement packages in and around the Sacramento area. So we were there for a reason.
You know, the mayor of Sacramento was not a huge fan of this. He put out a statement, Kevin McCarty, and we'll put this up on the screen, said that these ICE raids are a violation of civil rights and an affront to democracy. There's a difference between deporting criminals and targeting people at Home Depot looking for work to feed their families. These raids are immoral and inhumane. He goes on to defend the idea that California is a sanctuary state. What do you say to that?
You know, I would say to Kevin that that's wishful thinking at its very worst. I can't think of a more misinformed opinion. He's got the right to have his opinion, but misinformed, because when we're doing this immigration enforcement, look at what happened yesterday in Sacramento. Two aggravated felons standing in front of a big box store. Now, Alex, what would have happened had someone picked up one of those aggravated felons and taken them into their home, say, to paint or do some work? One of those individuals was an actual child molester. The other, an aggravated felon convicted and served hard time for burglary. Do you want someone like that in your home, Kevin? Does he want somebody like that in his home doing work? And, you know, it also, what about the honest American citizens? What about honest Ma and Pa America, who are licensed, bonded, insured, and want to do that type of work, that are being cut out by aggravated felon illegal aliens?
We know that it was not only aggravated felons that you're picking up in some of these. And there are people that are here other than coming into this country illegally who have not committed any crimes, who are being deported because of this. Do you ever feel bad for those people and their families?
No. Bottom line is no. Alex, what does Jocelyn Nungare feel now? What does Molly Tibbetts or Kate Steinle or Officer Singh feel now? What do the angel moms feel? Those folks that come across the border, that's not a victimless crime, and it never has been. I think that's a fallacy That's put out there by folks that don't really know what the situation is. Those individuals come in, they may have a criminal history in their home country. We often find, and we're finding out more and more when we do communicate with those home countries, that they do have significant criminal histories from those home countries. So no, I don't feel bad. Come in the right way. Let us check you out. Understand who you are. And immigration is supposed to work for our country. It's supposed to work for us to make America a stronger nation. And what's happened over the past 4 years did not do that, with millions of illegal aliens coming in. Millions. It was an unmitigated, chaotic disaster.
You know, there was a court hearing recently where the Trump administration lost in court from a federal judge. And we want to put up some of what she said in terms of this area, which is mostly the Southern California area, issued a ruling that prohibited you from conducting detentive stops in the district unless the agent or officer has reasonable suspicion that the person stopped is within the U.S. in violation of U.S. immigration laws. And she goes on to sort of point out that you should be barred from solely relying on race, ethnicity, speaking with an accent, being at sites such as day laborer sites like a Home Depot, car washes, fields. It seemed significant that you did this raid in Sacramento, which is outside of the district that she ruled in, and not here in Southern California. For now, are the raids in Southern California essentially on hold?
Alex, absolutely not. And you have to remember, there was also a temporary restraining order in Eastern District, which does include Sacramento. So that's a temporary restraining order that both that judge and a judge earlier this year ruled upon in the Eastern District, which encompasses Sacramento. Now, I am named in those, so I'm not going to get too much into those temporary restraining orders. But what I will say is, the raids have not stopped here in Los Angeles or anywhere in California. CBP, HSI, ICE, and Department of Homeland Security, we go by the law. We've always gone by the law, and we're going to go even harder now.
So when you're in, say, at Home Depot parking lot, do you have reasonable suspicion that all these people are here illegally? What are you basing that off of?
Sure. Anywhere we're at, whether it's a Home Depot parking lot or making a traffic stop out on the highway, chasing someone across the border, whatever it is, we have reasonable suspicion, and we develop those articulable facts needed for reasonable suspicion to either make the stop or the detention.
How do you define reasonable suspicion?
Sure. It's a set of facts, articulable facts that a reasonable person might rely on to, in fact, to make that detention and or stop. You know, Alex, what's your citizenship? Would you state your citizenship for me?
I'm a U.S. citizen born in the United States.
Fantastic. May I ask that to anyone at, near, present in the United States? Absolutely. That's an articulable fact. The way you answered it, what you answered is very important there. I'll take that and many other facts into the calculus to determine the reasonable suspicion.
One of the raids that got the most attention, the largest raid of the entire Trump administration, happened recently in Camarillo and Carpinteria. This was focused on something called Glass House, which was a licensed marijuana farm where you had suspicion of a massive illegal hiring scheme. You got a warrant to go into this workplace, and you ended up arresting hundreds of people. We've seen the images from outside. We haven't really seen the images from inside. Walk us through what it was like inside. When all that was happening, what you found?
Sure. Customs and Border Protection, ICE, Homeland Security, and all the allied law enforcement agencies. It was a joint effort there at Glass Houses at that marijuana farm. So they were absolutely astounded at what they saw in and around that marijuana grow. Specifically, we're talking about unaccompanied children working and being present at that farm, alongside 361 illegal aliens, many of whom were convicted felons. We have that convicted felon coming into this scenario again, as it does in just about every scenario we see in California or the United States. So you had unaccompanied children working alongside convicted felons, some of whom were child molesters themselves. And I'll tell you that the agents keyed in on that pretty quickly. And, you know, it's never not appalling. It always is. I'm appalled now to think that that was happening. Also, that begs to question the 300,000 missing children that President Trump's Secretary Noem, Tom Holman, and the rest of the team talk about. There's a prime example of what happens when those children are lost, Alex.
We've got a picture of some of those children we want to put up on the screen. Obviously, you blurred their faces. How are they doing? What happened to those kids after this?
Sure, those kids were turned over to juvenile coordinators with Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, and those children will hopefully be reunited with their families if they can find them. They've received housing and they're in good care right now.
What about the owner of Glass House or the management? Because obviously, if all what you're saying is true, they're the ones responsible. Are they under arrest? What's happening there?
Sure. And Alex, that is a federal investigation. So some of the more salient points there, I'll pass that on to the investigators with Homeland Security Investigations. They're doing a fantastic job of doing what they do best, and that's investigating crimes, especially crimes against the homeland.
Meaning that could come later.
It's possible. Again, I won't delve into the federal investigation.
I'm reading
there,
between
but,
the lines there. Okay. Let's talk about another big raid. They got a lot of attention is what happened in MacArthur Park. We had a moment where L.A. Mayor Karen Bass showed up, asked to talk to who was in charge, which was you. And we actually caught that moment on camera. Here's what happened.
So, getting ready to leave. Okay, please, can you leave ASAP?
My comment is they need to leave, and they need to leave right now.
So we've heard her version of that. We saw her version of that. What was your version of that?
Sure, I talked to Mayor Bass there for a few seconds. She asked if we were going to leave. I said, we'll leave when the operation's over. And it's just like us in Los Angeles now or anywhere in California, whether it's Sacramento or any other cities you will see us in. We'll leave when the operation's over. And Alex, there's millions of illegal aliens and illegal alien criminals here in California. We've got a job to do, and we're going to do that job. As far as MacArthur Park itself, birthplace of MS-13. Let me say that again. That's the birthplace of MS-13. That's not their park. That's Ma and Pa America's park. And we came into that park because it's Ma and Pa America's park. We'll go anywhere in the city of Los Angeles to affect that Title VIII mission, which is what that was, and anywhere in California to do that. That's why we were there.
Were any MS-13 gang members arrested that day? Was anybody arrested that day?
Sure. We had 50 strike teams across Los Angeles, so there were dozens of arrests that day, some close to MacArthur Park. We make arrests every day of gang members and folks that should not be here in the country.
Because you saw what she said, what Governor Newsom said. They all basically said that this is theater, that you're doing this to try to scare the community. But there's really nothing that came out of it. It was a kind of a waste of resources, march in there, march out, and nothing came of it. What do you say to that?
You know, in talking with the folks that live at and near MacArthur Park, a fantastic use of resources there. The park was, for the first time in a long time, according to them, they felt safe there. You know, I was on scene there. I was about 60 yards away from Mayor Bass. She didn't want to come over and talk to me. She wanted to talk on the phone there. But I was very close there. And a lot of residents passing by said, thank you for your service. It's about time that you came here. So we plant the flag in Los Angeles. Downtown Los Angeles, MacArthur Park, birthplace of MS-13, and it makes it a better place. And also, we have to counterpose that against the politicians that say things like take up positions against CBP, ICE, and HSI, asking gang members to do that. That's never a good idea.
This is the vice mayor of Cudahy,
exactly.
Who was on camera doing that. There's been a lot of folks who have called for her to resign. That's not something that most politicians here have done, but clearly it was an outrageous thing for her to have said.
Exactly, and I haven't heard any very many politicians at all, whether it's Mayor Bass or the governor, say really anything about that. I'm amazed.
You know, though, I mean, you say that you were praised by folks that came there, and there are some people that are praising you for doing that. But, you know, there's plenty of protesters as well. You see it at everything you do. The elected officials of this region who elected these Democratic leaders with big majorities who are speaking for these people are very much against you. They keep saying, get out. We don't want you here. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, Alex, so I think those folks choose aggravated felons and child molesters over American citizens. That's the very first thing.
But they would say that's not just that. They would say we don't like aggravated felons or child molesters.
But they don't say that.
But no, they do. Many of them do. Governor Newsom has said that. Mayor Bass has said that. They say we don't want criminals here either. But basically, you know, the father who's got three kids in the military who's going to work shouldn't be nabbed. I mean, that's what they say.
Alex, the $300 that Mayor Bass wants to give to illegal aliens to give them aid and comfort to stay in the United States illegally, is she discerning aggravated felons and child molesters with the $300? I don't think so. So I do think that they need to do a lot more. They need to tone that rhetoric down.
Yeah.
That rhetoric is not beneficial to the immigration mission. It's not beneficial to their community. They are a large part of why folks want to come out and protest. These folks may not understand the entire story because they're not being fed the entire story by those elected politicians, and they come out and do things that may get themselves into trouble.
Speaking of toning the rhetoric down, I totally agree with that. And that's a point that I made with Mayor Bass recently. I said, if we don't tone the rhetoric down, somebody's going to get killed on either a protester, somebody in Border Patrol, somebody's going to get killed from this. And so I asked her about how can we tone the rhetoric down. Here's what she said.
Is there a way to cool down the temperature here? Is there a deal maybe to be made on sanctuary cities? Is there some negotiation behind the scenes with you and the administration to try to take things down a notch?
Well, you should know, and you know me, I'm always willing to talk. I'm always willing to have a discussion. But the way you cool down the temperature is you stop what you were doing. And that's essentially the order from the court today. So maybe since the administration has been told that the Constitution actually applies to them, maybe they will be interested in having a conversation.
Are you guys having a conversation?
We're having a conversation right now, Alex. We're absolutely ready.
Well, we're having a conversation. I have a conversation with her, but are the two of you having
sure.
a conversation?
We've had conversations before on several occasions. She decided to join the lawsuit against Customs and Border Protection and DHS. So that doesn't do that conversation a lot of good when we're both parties to that lawsuit. It makes it a lot more difficult. But the conversation is ready to be had. And as far as stopping arresting bad people and bad things in her community, we're not going to stop that. I can't imagine that she would want that to stop, and we're not going to stop.
Is there potentially a deal here if Governor Newsom called you and said, we're going to stop the sanctuary city policy, stop the sanctuary state policy, we're going to work with you guys on criminals in exchange for you stopping going to Home Depots and to car washes and sort of rounding up random people? Is there a deal there to be made?
Well, Alex, I'm apolitical. The Border Patrol and CBP, ICE and HSI, we're apolitical. I wouldn't make a deal like that. I go by the law.
Yeah.
And I'm going to continue to enforce Title 8 immigration code. If he wanted to make a deal, I believe other politicians and there's other parties there that would do that. Right now, I am here because what you just mentioned, sanctuary state, sanctuary jurisdiction, there is no sanctuary. There's no sanctuary state. There's no sanctuary jurisdiction. And I'm here to enforce Title 8 immigration law because they refuse to. You know, I've worked in California at the start of my career and here towards the end of my career. And I've seen the damage that SB 54 and state and locals not able by law to work with immigration officials. And that is why, my friends, that, Alex, is why you have aggravated felons, child rapists standing in front of big box stores, walking our streets with impunity. That's why you have the Jacqueline Nungares. That's why you have bad people and bad things that hurt Americans. And that's why I'm here.
Let's just talk about what this has been like for the Border Patrol, because you all go in, you've had rocks thrown at you. You've had gunshots at you. You've had your tires slashed. You've been spat at. You've been called Nazis. You've been called terrorists, all the rest of that. What is that like for your men and women who are trying to do their job every day? What's that like for recruiting to the Border Patrol? What's the status of the Border Patrol right now?
Sure, Alex. What you have to remember is a lot of that happened anyway. Over the past decades on the border, rocks being thrown, we actually have vehicles with armor around them to deal with Iraq. So we're gonna enforce the law legally, ethically, and morally wherever we go, whether it's on the border or here in Los Angeles. And as far as recruiting, I'll tell you, I've never seen as much excitement and motivation from Border Patrol agents, as well as our allied law enforcement agencies, to conduct this and other law enforcement missions. We watched for 4 years, as I said before, as millions, not just a few, but millions of individuals poured across that border with impunity. Mm-hmm. And Border Patrol agents stood by and didn't like it. Not one of them liked it. And being able to go back and take some of those bad apples, bad people, and bad things back out of society where they shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It's fantastic for recruiting. And I couldn't think of a place I'd rather be any more than Los Angeles. And even here talking with you, Alex.
Thank you. And of course, we know with the big, beautiful bill, there's going to be a lot more funding to potentially hire more agents as well. Last question. There's been so much said about you, but as you mentioned, this is sort of a rare local interview. We haven't heard that much from you. What do you think is the biggest misconception about you and your mission right now?
Sure. Well, Alex, I don't pay a lot of attention to what's being said. That's what we would call the fog and friction of the battlefield. Let them have at it. I certainly lead the mission here. The Department of Homeland Security forces here in Los Angeles and in other places in California. And, you know, again, legally, ethically, and morally, we're going to carry out the law. And there's something here that Bass and the governor and the other folks haven't seemed to touch on is look at the professionalism of DHS entities and our allied law enforcement agencies. Very few, if any, civilians hurt. Very few injuries amongst the law enforcement officers. Now, how does that happen? That's not by accident, not in an environment where our agents and officers are being attacked daily. I believe that Mr. Holman said it was about an 820% increase in assaults. Yet, look at the professionalism and the excellent job that our law enforcement officers are doing. How come that's never parroted by the governor or Bass or that vice mayor of Kootahay, who's asking exactly the opposite to happen, mm-hmm. and that's gang members to take up positions against law enforcement. So a lot more to this, a lot more going on behind the scenes. I'm very proud of Customs and Border Protection, the Border Patrol agents, Office of Field Operations, Air Marine, HSI and ICE, the fantastic job they're doing and their leadership's doing. And then again, those allied law enforcement agencies that are unheralded in this effort. They're all out there working to take terrorists and bad people and bad things off the streets of Los Angeles. Well done. I salute them. I take my hat off to them, and I look forward to being in the trenches with them.
And it sounds like you're going to be here for a while.
It could be.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much for sharing your views. Really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
Our thanks to Gregory Bovino. Now, our conversation with Gustavo Arellano, talking about the raids and about the interview you just listened to. That recent Border Patrol raid in MacArthur Park, one of many recently written about extensively by our next guest. Gustavo Arellano is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter and columnist with the LA Times. Gustavo, welcome back to The Issue Is, and great to have you in the house.
Instead of my Cosmo Cavern on Zoom, so gracias, Alex.
It is weird to see you in person. And because you were here in-house, you just watched our last segment with Greg Bovino, the head of the Border Patrol in the area, who I know has got a different view on immigration than you. What'd you make of what he had to say?
I liked the character better when it was played by Robert Duvall in Apocalypse Now. Just this swaggering, I'm going to come and conquer this invading horde. Mom, Pa, American, what are you, Walter Winchell? Like, we know, look, he has his job to do. I wish he would talk to my colleagues at the Los Angeles Times, but his office never returns our requests. I would love to talk to him to sort of see his story. Yeah. But it's obvious that he's trying to project this aura of invincibility. We are going to come. The whole thing in MacArthur Park, it's like, it's a charade. If you're going to do the job, do the job. You don't need to put all this attention on yourself.
But to his point that it's a crime to come here in the first place, that there's a whole lot of criminals that are among us that we don't know about until you go in and you find it. And that's making us safer. What do you say to that?
I mean, it's interesting because I heard what you were saying, the tone. Can we keep the tone down? And so when he equivocates, everyone who's come into this country without papers is the rapist, is the assaulter. That's not true. And he knows it's not true. And he's going to say, well, you know, if you cross the border illegally, that is a crime in and of itself. Okay, sure. Fine. And what? Like, how are you going to sell your mission of cracking down on criminals when you are indiscriminate in grabbing everyone? And to his point where he was saying, like, oh, in MacArthur Park, people were applauding us and saying thank you. You saw MacArthur Park when he was there. It was completely empty. The people who were there were booing him. And most of the folks who use that park are the undocumented people that he is also demonizing.
Well, the MacArthur Park also has been a problem for a long time.
Exactly.
I mean, it does have gang problems from MS-13. It's also got a whole lot of homeless people. Mm-hmm. There's a tremendous amount of drug use. There's poverty. I mean, that's not a place where I certainly would feel safe late at night and certainly would not want, like, my kids or my grandmother to be at. I mean, there's a problem there. The question is what they just did something to solve it, which is the point you made in your column.
Exactly. That's a sad irony. If any place needs federal intervention, it's MacArthur Park. It is very sad. But you don't go in on a mission where you have people on horseback with one white horse, the optics of it. You don't do a charade of walking in file with a horse holding the American flag for your own cameras. You don't go in with a Stetson hat to MacArthur Park unless you're going to dance a cumbia or quebradita. You do not do that. So who did he actually arrest that day? He said we had 50 operations. We arrested them all around Southern California. But he didn't answer your question. So he's equivocating. It's all shows. If you're going to do the job, do the job.
So what does doing the job look like to you?
I mean, let's first and foremost, Border Patrol, where are you doing all the way up in Sacramento? How about go down and stay at the border, capture the people?
Well, they would say they're doing such a good job. Now they have the ability to go to other places.
You also have HSI. You also have ICE, all the toxic alphabet soup of all these organizations, who I just call MIGRA, you know, immigration. So at least start with the securing the border, doing that job. Then after that, look, there is a legal way to do it. When you have the warrant given to you by a judge, then that's when you could go in and, I mean, that's the federal law. So if you're going to do that, go through that. But and I'm not going to put this all on Border Patrol because really the worst raids that you've seen here has mostly been ICE. Mm-hmm. And of course, they're separate departments. But going into Home Depot, did you really sign up to defend this country by running after a paletero, by running after a gardener? Like, give me a break. Those are not the hard people. If you want if you want to go after the hard people, if you made connections with the people who are actually being affected, just like Daryl Gates did so many years ago with Special Order 40, which basically told his LAPD, do not bother with immigration status because we want people to trust PD because we want to go after actual criminals, not the criminals in the minds of Stephen Miller.
Which is really the sort of basis for the idea of a sanctuary city and a sanctuary state goes back to Daryl Gates and the LAPD all those years
ago. Of all the people, Daryl Gates.
So, your hero. So let's talk about what's happening in the community right now in terms of the fear. Because, as we know, the Latino community is not a monolith. There are some people who came here legally who love what Donald Trump is doing because they say nobody should cut the line and it's been illegal immigration out of control. And then there are other people who are really scared to even leave their house, some of whom are here legally and are still scared to leave their house.
You know what I'm actually seeing? I'm seeing those Latino Trump supporters being disgusted by the raids.
Are you?
Because they said, and Trump was such a genius at selling this. And I wrote about this last year where one time I was in line and I was talking to somebody who used to be an illegal immigrant, but now an American citizen. And he was railing against the Venezuelans who are invading this country and supposedly getting free this and that. I'm like, dude, or compa, you know, what you're saying right now about Venezuelans, they were saying about you when you're an illegal immigrant. He's like, oh, no, well, I came here illegally the right way. Mm-hmm. I came in and I didn't get anything. So those people are getting disgusted. I mean, you've seen polls show that the cratering of support among Latino Republicans for Trump is a real thing because they didn't sign up for this. They didn't sign up for a gardener to be caught. They didn't sign up for the father of three Marines, Narciso Barraza, down in Santana, to be caught. They want the MS-13 members caught. They want the Florencia members caught. They do not want people who have been here 30 years who have not done anything except live without papers to be caught.
You know, a couple years back, you did this great podcast series on Proposition 187, which for people that may be new to California in the mid to late 90s, there was this proposition that really went after illegal immigration in such an intense way. It was actually later thrown out in court. But it animated this whole generation of Latinos who are many of our leaders now, like Alex Padilla and Antonio Villaraigosa and Fabian Nunez. All these people came to politics because of that. Do you think that this is like a Prop 187 moment where it's an inflection point in the history of L.A. politics?
Oh, absolutely. Not just L.A. politics, but California.
California,
politics. Yeah. And soon beyond. This is what the right does not get. Reagan got it. Latinos are naturally Republican. They just don't know it yet. Trump was able to channel that. But the moment you start criminalizing and demonizing, that's what we're saying, demonizing, calling these people invaders, aliens, all of this, these young Latinos who were really apolitical, at this point, they call themselves no sabo kids, where I do not know how to speak Spanish. I'm just nominally Latino. But doing all this, that's why you're seeing the flags of Mexico and El Salvador and all these. I don't necessarily agree with it. We've talked about that well before, but you're now radicalizing a generation. But what does radicalizing actually mean? Going out there to protest, being part of these rapid response networks that are filming Border Patrol and ICE doing all that stuff. What a mess up. But hey, pendulum swings.
The pendulum swings because we did see in the last election Donald Trump gaining significantly with Latinos. And you think some of that's going to be canceled out by this?
It's being canceled out right now. And that's the thing, because you go one way, you go the other. So Democrats at the, I mean, and it was interesting because I did a column last year about a poll. I think it was PPIC that showed that the amount of Latinos who were against illegal immigration in California, it matched the same percentage that white people in California were against illegal immigration back in the 90s, which is absolutely incredible. Because again, when it's your parents who came here illegally, yeah, you're going to defend them. When it's and when we talk about Latinos in California, we're talking the general Latinos of Mexican descent, over 75%, huge, huge number. So when it's Central Americans, you're not going to care about them. And it's sad, and I don't agree with it. When it's Venezuelans, we have nothing to do with them, so screw them. And so Trump was able to build on that, and the Democrats didn't seize on that to try to like deprogram us from our natural inclination to assimilate.
Lastly, how do we sort of calm things down? How do we get out of this moment where we don't literally kill each other?
I mean, look, it comes from Donald Trump. We all know Donald Trump, of course, president of the United States, and he is swayed. You see the interesting moments where he has some sympathy for undocumented people. He's spoken positively about so-called dreamers. He even said, like, oh, maybe we shouldn't be going after farm workers and the restaurant industries that are getting destroyed.
After his buddies reached out to him
exactly.
Who employ those people. And by the way, he's employed those people, too.
You said it, not me. But we know that the people who have his ear right now are the folks like Stephen Miller, who is trying to create this demonization that really plugs into centuries, decades of American history. You know, Bovino, that's an Italian last name. At one point in this nation's history, people like him were seen as criminals. The nastiest, most racist anti-immigrant thing I've ever seen was about Italian immigrants. It had them with mustaches and with knives coming onto Ellis Island. So I just wish Chief Bovino, first of all, talk to the LA Times, talk to me. Let's do a conversation. Seriously, have these conversations and let's talk about where in history we are right now. And maybe you can learn from each other one way or another. And final point, I've known people who work for the Border Patrol. So I'm not some crazy Aslanista. I'm not going to say who they are unless they get in trouble. But I've been there. So I understand.
And that's the point of this show, too, is that we want to bring different people to the table so people can hear different perspectives and hopefully they can learn from each other as well. Gustavo, great to see you. Thank you so much.
There we go.
Be
Mexican here.
that's me. Up next, the fight over high-speed rail. Stay with us. Welcome back. The battle between President Trump and Governor Newsom continuing on multiple fronts this week, including high-speed rail in the Central Valley. The Trump administration pulling $4 billion in federal funding from that troubled project that's billions over budget and decades behind schedule. Governor Newsom announcing that California is suing to keep that money. But if the state loses in court, it could be the end of this project. The San Francisco Bay Area now, where U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi and Interior Secretary Doug Burgum toured Alcatraz, the prison, this week. The president wants to reopen it, which would take an act of Congress, a rollback of an environmental review, and a whole lot of money. Former Speaker Pelosi, who represents the area, says it's possibly President Trump's stupidest idea yet. And the governor is against it as well. A reminder that you can listen to extended versions of our show in podcast form, including lengthier interviews with both of our guests this week. Just search for The Issue Is.
You're getting to shoot baskets with basketball players? How cool is that?
Very cool.
We're so grateful that our Issue Is special on athletes who serve was nominated for an Emmy in the sports category this year. Last year, we were honored to win an Emmy in that category for our profile of Dodgers great Clayton Kershaw and his nonprofit called Kershaw's Challenge. Next week, we are back with Clayton for a new interview as he hands out 3,000 backpacks to mark his 3,000th strikeout. Our thanks to Gustavo, our thanks to Chief Bovino, and our thanks to you for listening. Next week on The Issue Is, a conversation with Clayton Kershaw about his charity work, plus more. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Alex Michelson. Have a great one.